Would you turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to Proverbs chapter 6? We'll be reading chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 tonight. As I accepted the role as director of the youth ministry, Dr. Ross, or actually his assistant, Kim Westbrook, sent me an email probably in the first week of me taking the job and announced that I would be preaching a sermon on this date on slothfulness. And to say the least, it was very humbling to say in the Lord's providence that he would present me with a sermon on this sin, probably that has been the sin that has easily entangled me throughout my life. And so even in preparing this sermon, there's been a lot of humility. So I want to get that out first and foremost, that I'm not on a pedestal up here. I'm definitely one who has received even the rebuke of the Lord in reading and preparing for the sermon and have been convicted of it. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. I find it interesting that in our culture, we have, especially in the Southern culture, we have two great loves. We have a love for accomplishment and also a love for comfort. And these two loves, both for accomplishment and comfort, kind of push us in two directions, the direction of being diligent and at the same time a quest or a desire to be slothful. And so within the hearts of many Americans, you can find both diligence and slothfulness. On one hand, you have the American dream that propels us to work hard, to accomplish and fulfill whatever we desire in our own lives. And so we are pushed to be diligent in the workplace or to meet our own goals. And on the other hand, we in our society really worship comfort and relaxation, so much so that the same people that are diligent at work come home and then really turn it off oftentimes. We can, in many ways, be slothful in our day while at the same time being diligent in other areas. And it's a unique complexity that we are battling within our own flesh in this. So there's an expectation, I would say, for even laziness. And as we were talking about slothfulness tonight, a sin that is probably as many of us hear even the word slothfulness, we can think of the areas in our life in which it has a grasp. There is oftentimes an expectation of laziness. So much so that I read a book, I was passed along a book in college when I was being mentored by a man named Greg Bebb. And it was a book written by a man named Alex Harris and his brother Brett Harris. It was called Do Hard Things, and it was a rebellion. The subtitle was A Rebellion Against Low Expectations. And he was giving that to me because he believed in my own life that I actually had very low expectations of what I could accomplish in my life. And because of that, and because of growing up in a culture where there are oftentimes low expectations for teenagers and even for the average Christian, we don't really meet those expectations or diligently try to pursue them. But we are really slothful in our lifestyle. And so with cultural expectations being so low, and our own desires for slothfulness being so natural, a natural temptation within ourselves, we oftentimes get confused and begin to make excuses for our own slothfulness. We claim that it is something that's just natural, a natural desire for sleep, or even a natural inclination to rest and to prolong things, procrastinate. And so we think that slothfulness is maybe a poor behavior or something that needs to be remedied. But I would challenge each of you today to think that slothfulness is not merely something that we can excuse away or say that it is light, but it's actually a grievous sin, and a sin that leads to many other sins. Make no mistake about it, slothfulness is not only unwise, it's also a sinful lifestyle that our Lord despises. Oftentimes we fail to remember the verse that says that Satan seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, and that our sin, even the sin of slothfulness, wants to have dominion over you and all of your life. That our sin is desiring our destruction and our demise. We tend not to think of that in the moment where we're in. We just want to lay in bed, or we don't want to pursue our wife in a relationship, or whatever it could be, the areas that we are not diligent But even those inclinations, those desires, and the actions that stem from them, those aren't merely unwise. They're actually an abomination to the Lord. I had a friend who attended this church up until this past year named Phil Sineath. He worked for Campus Outreach, and he took a group, I think it was a year ago, to South Africa. And he was recounting a story to me after he had come back from South Africa that on their one-day vacation, they went on a safari. And they were reminded as they began the safari that they were to stay inside the vehicle at all times. And now this may have been a story that the guide just told them to scare them. But he said that the day before, a Japanese man was in a car and wanted to get a better picture of a group of lions outside of his car. And so he got out of his vehicle and walked and approached the lions to be able to take a picture of the lions. And of course, what do lions do? Lions maul and attack. They saw him as prey. And so the story that the guy told them is that the Japanese man was eaten in front of his family, in front of his children. And so what had happened is he thought, he had lowered down in his mind the danger of that sin, or the danger of exiting the vehicle, of the advice that had been given. And how much more so do we oftentimes make very tame the word of God and the sin in our life? We have very low prospect of the danger of the sin in our life, and so we allow it to persist. We allow ourselves to dabble with temptation, even in this area of slothfulness. Proverbs 19:15 says that slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. I want you to hear that your sin desires your destruction. It will cast you into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 21:25 says, "The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor." So the scriptures make it clear that the Lord despises slothfulness, and our slothfulness desires to consume us. There are at least three reasons why the Lord despises slothfulness. First, the Lord despises slothfulness because it is a failure to reflect the image of God. As creatures made in the image of God, we are called to reflect God's character and thus to glorify him and be as light in the world. So is God slothful? Well, by no means. He is clearly diligent. God took what was chaotic in the beginning after having spoken creation into being, and he diligently worked it, fashioned it even by using his own words. The confession says, by the word of his power, he tamed what was chaotic and organized it day by day to make it the creation that we have today. Even after doing the work, he would reflect upon it and each day saying, it is good. So God in creation is very diligent. But even more so, I would say, in his works of providence. The Westminster Confession of Faith asks this question: what are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. So the question, is God diligent? Clearly so. He is overseeing all the events of all of history, from the minutia to the grand scheme of things. God is at work, and he is very diligent. Proverbs 139 describes the mind of God in that he is not only acting in all these things, but he has an unlimited knowledge. He exhaustively knows all things. And so God is a diligent God, knowing all things, preserving the actions even of his creatures, and maintaining all things and purposing that all of them would go according to his glory and to his will. And so we have a God who is incredibly diligent. God takes the initiative even in all of his relationships. You can think when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, who was it that reinitiated the relationship? While Adam was hiding and Eve was hiding, God stepped forward to them. So he was the one who took the initiative. He was the one who diligently sought reconciliation. Even in our own salvation, the scriptures proclaim that while we were yet sinners, estranged from God, Christ died for us. So God has done all things in accordance with his will. In Galatians 4:4, when the time was to be fulfilled, Christ sent forth his son to be born of a woman. And so Christ and the Lord is very diligent in pursuing his people. And he is clearly the model of diligence in our lives. So God is not asleep, but he is always attentive. He is always engaging, always pursuing, and always active. Even in the life of Christ, Christ was not slothful. Many would point to the fact that Jesus, of course, would take breaks on a mountainside to pray, to be alone by himself, and that he would sleep. And yet, he knew what was necessary to be refreshed. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was completely diligent in healing and preaching and calling disciples to himself. We have a model for us in the image of God that we are to reflect. So he has not created us to be stagnant. And he did not make us only to sit by and enjoy his creation, but he actually empowered us with tasks to accomplish. He gave us work to do, and he expects us not only to do the work he has called us to do, but to reflect him in our work ethic. In Colossians 3:23, it says, let's flip to that verse if you would. Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Work heartily. Whatever you do, and all that you do, work as if it were for God and not for men. And he has given us things to accomplish, such as the creation mandate, which he gave to Adam and Eve, to increase and multiply, to fill the earth and have dominion over all things. He's given us the Great Commission to evangelize, to spread his gospel, and to love our neighbor. And he has even given us our specific callings in this life. And so God is calling you to do your work, surely, and to do it with a work ethic that models and reflects him, a work ethic that is diligent. And so a question that came to my mind even as I was reading over this and thinking about the Lord's the image of God in us, the fact that he calls us to be diligent, a question that I asked is, what do your coworkers, your spouse, your children and friends say that, would they say that you reflect God's initiative taking? Would they say that you are diligent in your work, that you are diligent in your relationships, that you are making the initiative in those, and that we are faithful stewards of the work that God has entrusted to us? And as I hear that, I'm very convicted that I am very often slothful. I was even sitting this morning reviewing my sermon. Actually, it was this afternoon, a few hours ago. And one way that you can oftentimes tell if you are slothful is your response to someone asking you to do something for them. And so my wife had given me a call, and I was busy reviewing my sermon, of all things, on slothfulness. And she called me and said, hey, you have the keys to my car. I need those. And, of course, she does need those. And my response to her, in a sense, at least in my heart, was frustration and anger. And driving over to the 10 minutes to my house, I was thinking, man, that is such a slothful reaction to a necessary thing. I was thinking about my own time and the time that it would take and what I was going to be losing during that time. And that again shows a heart and a grasp of slothfulness even in my own heart, that I would be selfish with my own time. So that leads us to point two. The Lord despises slothfulness because it is intrinsically rooted in selfishness. When you're slothful, you are selfish. So the essence of slothfulness is, I will use my time how I want to use it and to fulfill my desires. Or you could put it this way, I will use the easiest means possible to accomplish my desires. So slothfulness is very much a self-centered focus. What am I going to do with my time? How can I maximize my own pleasure, which is oftentimes in laziness or doing nothing at all? And thus, a sloth does not think for others, but for himself only. So oftentimes you can ask that question, how do I respond when somebody asks me to do something? Am I angry? Well, what does that show about myself? Am I being selfish? 2 Thessalonians 3:10, I want to ask you to turn to that passage of Scripture. This is one of the clearest examples of slothfulness versus diligence in the New Testament. So 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 6. Paul's writing and he says, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness, and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. You can hear how he's saying that there are some that loaf through life on the backs of others. Some that are unwilling to work but want the benefits. And so Paul's command here is, do not make yourself a burden upon others. Do not look out for yourself only. But the weight of Scripture is truly upon living your life sacrificially for others, to love others, to take the initiative. That's the image of God that we see in the Scriptures. And therefore, that's what we are to reflect. So diligence bears in mind that our actions affect others. So again, those questions come back to our minds. What would my spouse describe me as being? More slothful or diligent in my relationship with her? How would my coworkers view my work ethic? Am I one who barely gets my work done, or am I one that actually helps others in their own tasks? This is the way that Christ is calling us to be diligent, to be overcomers in the work that he gives us by his own power, and have a work ethic that is above reproach. And so a sloth, someone who's delighting in slothfulness and living in it, oftentimes does not sacrifice whatsoever. One example of this, I was thinking even as I was playing golf with my father-in-law just the other day. We were paired with a third partner, a third man that was going to join us on our round. And my father-in-law was asking questions about him, really taking a lot of initiative. I was more focused on my golf game, and he was taking the initiative and found out that the man was suffering from pancreatic cancer and essentially has a timetable in his life. And I was more or less sitting back as my father-in-law was, even on hole 18, the last hole of the round, taking the initiative to mention, like, where's your hope in life? You know, he was asking the man who we're probably never going to see again questions that were pertinent to the end of his life and to beyond that. And the intentionality of even evangelism. How are we doing with that in the kingdom? The work God has given us in the Great Commission. Are we speaking the words of life to others? Or are we oftentimes so idle in that? Would Christ call us a faithful steward of the work that he has given to us? And so these Proverbs and 2 Thessalonians call us to think for others, not just for ourselves. And slothfulness gets us in a rut in which we are thinking selfishly. Another passage I want to flip to just to, again, examine this topic is Ezekiel 34. And this is a stark condemnation to the Levite priest in the nation of Israel. So Ezekiel 34, I want to read a few verses from this, and I want you to hear this selfishness for which God is calling them out. Ezekiel 34, it's a prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beast. My sheep are scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep are scattered over the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beast, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue the sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. You hear a strong condemnation, but the duty that God had given to the Levites to feed the sheep, and their condemnation is that they were too busy focused on themselves. And so when I think of my childhood and slothfulness as it ran amok in my childhood, I tend to think of really just doing what I needed to get by. And what a selfish way to live our lives. Christ has called us to be shepherds under him, the great shepherd, to care for others, to feed others with the word of God, to do evangelism. And when we neglect to do that and focus merely upon ourselves, we are failing to do the work that God has given us to do. And therefore, we are failing to reflect his image. So the Lord despises slothfulness because it's not fulfilling the image of God. The Lord despises slothfulness because it's intrinsically rooted in selfishness. And thirdly, the Lord despises slothfulness because it leads to a host of other sins. I want to give four examples to this. Slothfulness is a gateway to sexual immorality. I think we all remember the fall of David into sin in 2 Samuel 11, and how it was the time where kings were to be at war. And in verse 2, it says that David got up off his couch and wandered to the patio where he saw Bathsheba. I think the author of 2 Samuel is very clearly pointing out before his fall, he was not in the right situation. He should have been diligent in the work that he had been given. And so I think the same is true today, that when we are not busy with doing good, not busy doing the works that God's prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them, we are providing a foothold for Satan to tempt us, to allow temptation, and particularly even sexual sin, to find its way into our lives. I would say that a sluggard is one who is very likely to fall into pornography and even adultery as compared to putting in the hard work that a marriage requires. The long-suffering nature and the forgiveness and the humility that is required in marriage, oftentimes sexual sin is very much preceded by slothfulness. Slothfulness is also a gateway to theft. Failing to prepare oftentimes will lead one to seek out the easiest and the quickest means to accomplish the objective. We tend to find the bypass whenever we fail to do the work that God's given us according to the standards and the way that he's called us to do it. So if we oftentimes cheat, steal, we pursue quick gains rather than doing faithful work of our hands, honest labor. In failing to study for the exam, we become willing to ask a classmate what the questions that were asked. So our guard gets let down as we procrastinate more and more and tend to be slothful. And so it's a gateway to theft. Slothfulness is also a gateway to breaking the Sabbath. Oftentimes the work that we fail to accomplish due to slothfulness on Saturday carries over into Sunday, and therefore we profane the Sabbath, the Lord's day. You think about manna in the desert, that God would provide 6 days of manna for the Israelites as they were wandering, and on Friday, the day before their Sabbath, he would give a double portion. He would tell them, you should prepare for this. You should diligently seek out a double portion for not only that day's food, but also for the next. And so a good question is, are we slothful and carrying over the work that we have the 6 days that we should labor and actually profaning the Sabbath by doing them on the sixth day? So slothfulness is a gateway to sexual morality and to theft and to breaking the Sabbath. And I would say that slothfulness in spiritual disciplines will cause us to stumble. It's a slippery slope if we are slothful in sitting under the means of grace. If we are not diligent in sitting before the Word of God or sitting in prayer, we're going to fall into much sin. I can think of the time when Christ was in Gethsemane and he urged his disciples to stay awake and to be aware of what was going on around them. And he says to pray lest they fall into temptation. And that is a call for each of us. Pray, to be diligent, rather than in the moment where Christ was going to be betrayed, sit back idly. We should not be slothful in our spiritual disciplines, but we should be very much diligent. And so we see that God despises slothfulness for many reasons. It's the root of many other sins. It leads into a host of other sins. It's failing to live up to the image of God, which is what we are called to do. And it is also a rooted in selfishness. And so here's a good question for us to think about as we have probably feel convicted of the fact that we are slothful either in our relationships or in our spiritual walk with the Lord or in our work, is how can a leopard change his spots? What remedy is there for those who are slothful? And I would say, just like John the Baptist said, as Christ was coming to be baptized, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Those who are slothful or struggling with any of these sins, the seven deadly sins, should look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He takes care of both the punishment of those sins by bearing our own sin weight, by paying and by taking upon his own shoulders our sins, making the payment in his atonement. And also, he gives us the empowerment through the Spirit to put away sin in our life now. He sanctifies us. That's one way that Christ is being utterly diligent in our lives, as he is even doing the work in us now, sanctifying us, making us more like himself. So behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Our passage that was on the bulletin that I want to look at, even as we prepared kind of to close, is Proverbs 6. And this is a father giving advice to his son, a son whom he loves. He has already spoken about a warning against adultery. He's calling his son to heed his advice in all these different areas of life. And here he goes before this topic of slothfulness. And this is really a call for each of us and a remedy, I would say, to this problem of slothfulness. He says in verse 6, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." As I was reading and preparing for this, I studied over Matthew Henry's commentary, and Matthew Henry says this about the fact that God calls us to look at the ant. He says, "We may learn wisdom from the meanest insects." Right? In that situation, he's saying the smallest of insects, "and be shamed by them. Habits of indolence and indolence grow upon people. Thus, life runs to waste, and poverty, though at first at a distance, gradually draws near like a traveler, and when it arrives, it is like an armed man, too strong to be resisted. All this may be applied to the concern of our souls. How many love their sleep of sin and their dreams of worldly happiness? Shall we not seek to awaken such? Shall we not give diligence to secure our own salvation?" And he says, should we not be humbled by even Solomon, who writes here, the fact that he tells us, mankind, to look to an ant, a small creature, and learn from her. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." An ant is not selfish. An ant is one who works on behalf of the colony and for the greater good. He grabs food, brings it back to the colony, and continues doing his work, preparing, as it says, preparing for future seasons. It's one who is self-motivated. The scriptures say here that is without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. The idea of an ant and why he is calling us to look to that for an example is the self-motivation of this ant. It doesn't have to be prompted or scurried along to do its work, but it is motivated in and of itself to prepare and gather. An ant is one who works preemptively rather than just responding to the circumstances. And oftentimes, one who is slothful merely reacts to what is thrown their way and does so at the last moment. And so the Lord, and through Solomon, commending us to his sons, commands us to be like the ant, to be like one who looks out for the colony, not selfishly, but proactively, and also to work in a motivated way so that we're not just merely responding, but we're doing things on the front end rather than just responding. And he says here, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Slothfulness will ultimately not pay off for anyone. It says a sloth will incur want. A sloth will be like one who comes into a situation. They fall into a situation that will be difficult to escape. One which a man is armed surrounding them, a robber. And so we will fall into situations, if we are slothful, that we could have avoided had we been diligent. And so heed the word of the Lord today, that we should behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that we should cast all our cares upon him, all the sins that we have recurring throughout our lives, and we should submit ourselves to him. But take heed lest we fall. We should look at the ant. We should look at those people in our lives even. Consider those who can be mentors and examples to us so that we would be proactive, that we would be diligent in the work of the Lord, the works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, even as we sit before your word and we hear this example that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who stepped into our lives, that not only created the world with utmost diligence and did so with preparation and thoughtfully, Lord, you have accomplished everything necessary for our salvation. You have been the diligent one. And God, so we look to you. The scriptures call us to cast our eyes upon you as our example. And it even gives smaller examples of being like an ant, being like those things, all things in life that are diligent and hard and have a great work ethic. Father, I pray that you would keep us balanced in this, that we would neither work so hard that we think works righteousness would be the way that we are approved before God, but that we also would not fall to the other extent and say that work does not ultimately matter, that we would loaf through life. God, you have given us a purpose in life, many purposes. And I pray, Father, that you would help each of us to take our priorities, Lord, from the list of priorities that you give us in your scriptures, that we would live for your glory and that we would live for others, that we would both love you and our neighbor above ourselves. And Father, so we ask that you uproot slothfulness in our souls, Lord, because it is a consuming fire. It is something that dominates all of our nature and all of our relationships and our work ethic. I pray, Father, that you would give us diligence so that we might reflect you in your kingdom. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.